today on Real Radio.
Young lady, middle-aged lady, older lady, you got all your past weighing you down. There's just hurdles you can't get over, no matter what they might be. Sinful conduct, maybe it's regret and remorse, I don't know. He wants to make you brand new. And that creates a depth of passion in your heart that no man can take away.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Being a Christian While Being a Woman, as he continues the series called Life and Bible. In living out our Christianity, we need to develop a practical and effective plan to walk with God at all times and in any situation. We say God's Word contains these answers to life, but at some point, we're to move from a simple understanding of the Bible to applying it to our lives. Previously, we learned what it looks like for a man to be a Christian. A Christian man is on the right side of issues in today's culture, a man who is a beacon for radical change, a leader and a visionary, a warrior who is ready at all times, never giving up and never giving in to the enemy. Now we'll see how the Christian woman is unlike any other woman on earth. So today, on day three of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that a Christian woman upholds a unique depth of passion. She's full of life because only a Christian woman can truly know who she is in Christ. It's in her heart to bring peace and rest to those around her, and her love for serving others, well, it's just what we need in this world. And now in his message called Being a Christian While Being a Woman, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Ladies, God has engineered you very, very specifically for very, very awesome reasons. And my heart breaks. I know my wife's heart breaks. The women's ministry leaders, their hearts break over women who have just been beat down either by a bad upbringing or by a husband or by a boyfriend or a relationship. And the woman is just a wilted flower. And I want you to know tonight, if you're saying, Pastor Jack, inside that's who I am, I want you to know that is not God's will, and He wants you completely re-energized, and He wants you watered with the Word that you might grow strong. Now, maybe you've come out of some cult or some woman-abusing religion or something. You need to know that that is not the will of God. If women in some cult or religion that you are in or some second-rate people, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you've been brought up into some belief that you somehow have no say, you have no input, that you are some subservient and some sort of thing like property, that is anti-God. And I see far too many young people settling for that. Number seven. A woman holds a unique depth of passion. I don't need to explain that. I think about Mary, as I read a moment ago in Luke. Elizabeth, the Samaritan woman. She's fun. You ever read about her? You've read about her, right? In John's Gospel, chapter 4. The Samaritan woman. She's a feisty thing. She's there getting water in the middle of the day. I think you've already heard the story when we were in the Gospel of John. She wasn't supposed to be there while the other women went. So she had to go in the middle of the day because she was a very loose girl. And she was not to associate with the other women, so she goes in the middle of the day. Jesus is at the well. Jesus sees her. Now, a monk would have ran for the hills because he got near a loose girl. What does Jesus do? He says, hey, woman, can I have some water? He's got a whole plan. Hey, girl, can I have some water? Why do you ask me for some water when I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew? She starts flirting with him. She doesn't know who he is. No, I'm serious. She doesn't know who he is. And he begins to answer her heart. And then he says, you know, I have water to give that if you drink of it, you'll never be thirsty again. And she goes, well, then give me some of that water. And he said, I tell you what. Why don't you go get your husband and bring him here? And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he goes, that's right. You've had, what is it, 4 or 5 husbands? And the man, how many? Five. And he says, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet of God. Isn't that amazing? And what happens? She winds up coming to know the Lord. Any culture without God, she would have been beaten with a stick or beheaded or whipped. What does the God of the universe do? Issues her forgiveness and gives her a brand new life. A woman caught in the act of adultery. What does Jesus do? And by the way, it was amazing. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Whoever wants to stone her, if you're sinless, go ahead, let it rip. Come on. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Whatever those guys' names were. Hey, Bill. Yeah, you Pharisees. Fred. Here's some big rocks here. Pick them up. Come on. I haven't seen a good stone in a whole week. Let it go. There she is. There you are. He who is without sin, throw the first stone. Can you imagine that? Now, who could have thrown in that entire group the first stone? Only Jesus. He didn't apparently even pick one up. Rather, who did he pick up? But the woman. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She looked around, because they all took off. She says, well, I don't think I have any accusers. And he said, the God of the universe, standing in front of her in human skin, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go. And what he said was, sin no more, meaning forsake that lifestyle you're in, girl. Go and live for God now. Do you know him like this? Have you come in here tonight and you've got all your past, young lady, middle-aged lady, older lady, you got all your past weighing you down. There's just hurdles you can't get over, no matter what they might be. Sinful conduct, maybe it's regret and remorse, I don't know. He wants to make you brand new. And that creates a depth of passion in your heart that no man can take away. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that cool? Think of that. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one, equal, the same. Hello, everyone. Equal, the same, in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ladies, did you hear that? This is the Bible. Not our culture speaking to you. I believe that the Bible teaches that women hold a unique place in the heart and mind of God. It's very powerful. Number 8, a woman holds a unique, reconcilable attribute. What do I mean by that? Reconcilable attribute. From the earliest ages of a young little kiddo, girl, a female seems to have it imprinted upon their heart and their eyes and their minds and how they perceive things in the sense of this, that they want a peace. Now, some of you, I don't know all of you in this room tonight. Some of you may, you just came from college today and you were taught some stuff in your little psychology class. And now the big debate is, are men and women different at all? Are they even different at all? First of all, the question should be, who asked that question? We need to study that brain, put it in a pickle jar and check it out and see how it works. Are men and women different? Men, I don't know how different a man and woman, a male and female could be. Absolutely different. They're the same value before God, but absolutely different in this sense, from the earliest moments. And of course, this is what you and I as mere humans can understand, right? But those of you, I love how many experts we have, by the way, regarding child rearing who have never had a kid. I mean, it's just hilarious. Well, you know what I think that should be done with children? Well, before you tell me that, how many kids do you have? Well, I mean, I've read about kids. Get out of here. Oh, man. They're different. And I mean, before they come out, they're different. You can watch now through technology. You've got two twins in the womb, two guys in the womb, and they're kicking each other. And then you've got two little girls in the womb, and they're all... It's absolutely... You can observe it. And then they come out, and they're different. It's supposed to be that way. And God celebrates that differentness that He's engineered. By the way, if you have a young kid, do you have young boys? You have little kids, boys? Will you let them get dirty? Listen, single moms, this is a very sad thing. Single moms who've been abandoned by the father, by the husband, and the little boy doesn't have much daddy time. Listen, mom, take it. Listen, I'm telling you right now. You got to let that little guy get absolutely messed up. Go dig a hole in the backyard, put some water in it, and throw his lunch in there. I am dead serious. He has got to get dirty. And to some degree, you know what? A little girl ought to get dirty too. And then it's okay. It's okay to expose that little guy to nicer things. That's fine. But when you, listen, a human being is amazing. They are, by DNA, programmed a certain way. We are made a certain way, okay? And then when we come out, by the way, Adolf Hitler knew this and tried to override one over the other. And that was, you can control a person completely by purging the race of humanity and creating a perfect Aryan people. It's all DNA. It's all DNA, Hitler believed. Just get all of the non-white races off the planet, and Hitler thought he could create a utopia on Earth. And then you have a lunatic come on the scene like Stalin, who said, we don't care about their DNA. Control their environment. Communize everything. Socialize it. Everyone's the same. That same is, they're all down there in the scum somewhere. They're all nothing. There is no God. They're just a bunch of numbers. And when you control them that way, you got them. Listen, in true humanity, there's a DNA print upon us, and then there's learned response behavior that you and I gather from our environment. And our environment puts stamps as we are growing up. And listen, the Bible says to know your kid and to nurture them in the way that they should go. You have a boy. Boys naturally, by the way, this is true. When there's an explosion, when a balloon blows up, when there's fire, when there's a crash, when there's catastrophe, guess what happens? From the earliest ages, the little girl will grab her dolly, embrace it, and turn away from the crash. And she starts talking to her dolly, and she starts telling her dolly it's going to be okay. Do you know who put that in there? God put that in there. Unless you go to some college and they'll tell you no. God put that in there. And the same age little boy, 4 years old, what does he do? And he runs to it. It's true. And then you have little girls putting on mommy's high heels and mommy's dress and walking around the house acting like a grown-up. What do guys do? They dress up like army guys or like contractors, or they start building stuff or cutting trees down or painting the windows on your house black. That's what guys do. There's a difference. Unique. Listen, a woman has the desire and the ability to be a peacemaker, much more than a guy does. A woman desires to be a peacemaker. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, that God has put it in the life of the believer to make reconciliation with other people. Did you know that? All of us, male, female alike. Are you a Christian? God has put a desire in your heart to reconcile with other people. No one does that better than females. Guys are funny. If we're upset with somebody, hey, what was that? I'm sorry, did I upset you? Yeah, you did. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, let's go get something to eat. It's over. And we're not even sure what we were just talking about. Doesn't matter. Women, did you get, and let me write you a note. And then I wrote you a note. And here's my second note to the first one. And then their whole makeup process is sure, it's firm, it's confirmed. It's amazing. God has engineered women. And we need, listen, we need godly women in this world. We need women who know who they are in Christ. Number nine, a woman holds a unique ingenuity to serve. I don't need to belabor this. Women are amazing at serving the Lord by serving other people. We saw it all weekend long at the conference. Women love to serve. They just jump right at it. You know what? I see a lot of things. Those who work for me here at the church, my family, I see everything. And I don't often mention things, but if there's a light bulb burned out, I can see it a mile away. It's a terrible disease I have. If there's a frame crooked on the wall, I can spot it 100 feet away. Drives me nuts. I was at my doctor's office recently, and I was fixing his frames in the waiting room. You'll see stuff, and so amazing, women in the heart of servanthood, getting things done, taking care of things, straightening things out. I think it's awesome. I think God's in all that. The Bible tells us, by the way, that there was a woman servant by the name of Deborah in Judges chapter 4. She's cool. She's a judge in Israel, Deborah. She's a gnarly, gnarly girl. In Barak, he's all upset. He's going, you know, the enemy's going to kill us. And she goes, well, why don't you go do something about it? She basically, why don't you man up and go beat the enemy up? Well, I don't think they're bigger than us and all this stuff. And she goes, what do you want me to do about it? You want me to go to battle with you? Would you? And she said, okay, Barak, check it out. If we go to battle and Israel wins, it's going to be said that a woman got all the glory. Are you willing? Are you able to live with that? I think she was trying to talk him out of it. I think she was trying to tell him, you go fight this thing. I'm a girl. I sit under the tree of Deborah, it was called, and I judge Israel. She goes to battle, whips those guys. That's an amazing kind of girl. She's serve in all capacities, this one. Number 10, we end with this. A woman holds a unique design to nurture. This is awesome. Nurture. A woman nurtures. Nurtures friendships, nurtures family, nurtures people around them. School teachers, if that's a Christian woman, she's going to be a nurturer. She's one in the home. And I'm going to freak you out right now. This is an awesome verse. Very, very rarely ever mentioned. It's Revelation. You ought to mark it down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 says, then John turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one stood as the Son of Man. He's talking about Christ. Clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass and as refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and with his countenance it was like the sun shining in its full strength. And did you hear the word? Across his chest, there's that golden band. You see, so what's the big deal? Incredibly unique in Scripture. It's a description of Jesus. And here he is. Don't you think that's a pretty terrifying picture? He's standing there and across his chest. And instead of the Holy Spirit using the normal word for a man's chest, the Holy Spirit uses the word for a woman's breast. And you say, what? That freaked me out. You're freaking me out. No, listen. Across his chest is a golden band. The word implies that across his chest not being a female chest, but the chest, the word used, means a place of nurturing. I'll read it to you exactly. A place of peace, rest, comfort is the root word regarding the female breast, a place of nurturing. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and his very heart is to nurture. Isn't that awesome? And when I look and think of the attributes of what God has engineered into the Christian woman, there are so many attributes of Christ that we as men, and it ought to be this way, look at a Christian woman and say, you know what? I need to be more like that. I need to be more like that. I'm going to ask all the ladies to stand right now, if you would. And we want to pray for you. But just stand right now, if you would, as we end. Men, remain seated. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for these women who are standing here right now. And I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that for these who are here, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and galvanize them into this world with incredible faith. Encourage them, Lord, the way only you can. Answer their fears. Fill the void of brokenness. Remove any desire or any pursuit to be accepted by anyone else on this planet, but you and you only. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that if there's any woman standing here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior personally, that has missed even her own value through Christ, her Creator, that right now, right where she's at, she would say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me your daughter. Take me off the path of hell and on the road to heaven. Let me know you, O Lord our God. And may all of you standing tonight be completely and absolutely overwhelmed with what your God is about to do from this moment on in your life. In Jesus' name, and all of us said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Being a Christian While Being a Woman. Thanks for joining us today. You know, and if you are a Christian woman, our prayer is that you become the woman that you were created to be and that you realize just how precious you are to the Lord. Being a Christian While Being a Woman, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, more and more is being asked of women, especially during these difficult times. That's why it's so important for you to know that the Lord loves you. He also understands what you're going through, and it's His desire for you to get to know Him in a personal way. But if you're not really sure what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see a tab there that's labeled Know God. And know is spelled K-N-O-W. That's know God. And once you're there, Pastor Jack's going to take you through the steps on how to accept Christ as your personal Savior and receive His free gift of eternal life in heaven with Him. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on that tab that says Know God. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.